Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, we'll back in. Hour number two of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Now let's welcome in my opinion, the greatest college quarterback of all time. That's a 2-time national champion, the Heisman Trophy winner. And that is Tim Tebow, who's here today on behalf of Allstate to help unveil this year's Allstate Werfel Trophy finalists. Tim, appreciate the time. How are you?
I'm doing great, Zach. Thanks for having me. How you doing today, man?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. So we'll get to Allstate and all the good stuff that you have cooking up with them in just a second. We know the Heisman's going to be announced coming up on Saturday night. Fernando Mendoza is expected to win the award. We'll see how it plays on out. Just with what he's been able to do this season, you being someone that's won a Heisman, you know, he's trying to win a national championship. You've won two of them. What has really impressed you about the Indiana quarterback?
Everything. Absolutely everything. His poise, his leadership, obviously his accuracy, athletic ability, I think is really underrated. Like, there's been some big times this year that he's had to really make some big runs on third downs to convert. Also in the red zone, one of the areas that got back into the game against Penn State was because of his legs in certain areas. And then obviously the throw to win it with his arms on third and goal, special. I also want to mention, he's a special young man. Like, his makeup of what leads to all of those traits is unique. It's different. It's contagious. I feel like there's a lot of people that just gravitate towards him. He's someone that I think is inspiring for teammates and a lot of other people. He's got a spirit about him that is really, really special. You talk to him and the way that he loves his teammates, the way that he wants to honor them, though also the way that he leads and chases and believes in big things, that big things are possible. Like, I believe that he believed they were going to beat Ohio State last weekend. And it's contagious. The more you're around him, the more that you want to be. And that's really special. And I think all of those off-the-field qualities lead to what happens on the field.
Obviously, you had a lot of positive things to just say about him right there. How do you think, though, his game will translate to the NFL? Because you're now getting people starting to talk about him potentially being the first overall pick in the draft.
I think he'll translate. The one thing I always want to say is with every quarterback, support system matters. It always, always does. We see that more now. Look at the Baker Mayfields and the Jared Goffs and all of these players that being in the right system fits. It totally matters because – having the right player in the right scheme with the right fit always matters, no matter their talent. But I think Fernando absolutely translate. His accuracy translate. His intelligence translates. Ability to read defenses translate. Ability to lead translates. Like, I have nothing but good things to say about him, and been fortunate to get to know him in a few areas and walks of life, and then been able to watch a decent amount of his film. And I think he absolutely translates, and I think he's going to be someone that will play for a while.
Tim Tebow here with us. What did you make of the decision by the College Football Playoff Committee to leave Notre Dame out and put Alabama and Miami in?
Oh, well, I think I would probably back up a little bit and say they're working with a incomplete system. That they had to work with the parameters they were given, and I understand the decisions in that parameter. Now, for me, do I want to see the parameters change? Yes, I do. I want to see them change in quite a few areas. I want to bring clarity around what does best mean. Is best mean how you're playing at the end of the season? Because that's different than best for how you played throughout the season. Those are two very different things. I could give you one example. Last year at the end of the year, the way South Carolina was playing at the end of the year, the way they beat Clemson and went on the run, that team was one of the 12 best teams at the end of the year. Now, throughout the year, probably not. Two very different things. So I think that is something that I'd love clarity on. I'm happy to support either one because I think consistency matters. I also think peaking at the right time really matters. Let's just bring clarity to what that means. On top of that, I also believe that if we want to say 12 best teams, then let's make it the 12 best teams. If we want to say the 10 best and then two more or possibly one more, depending how it shakes out with conferences and all of that, because we want to be inclusive to all conferences. I get why that's important, but then let's just not say 12 best teams, right? Because right now you're having 10 of the best, and then you're saying sort of two were deserving, I guess would be the argument. So I just think clarity, whether you agree or not, leads to understanding of how you got there. And I think that's sometimes where people are upset of how they got there, right? Say 12 best, but then all of a sudden you have two others. And I love the story of Tulane, and I love the story of JMU. I love both their coaches. But if we want to look at a roster and say that's the best, in my opinion, and I could be wrong and they could upset some people, I don't think they will, but that's my opinion based on their roster of how good their players are. It's not how good necessarily their coaches are, and they do have some really good players, but I think it's just really important to bring clarity to that.
Obviously, you're now a big fan of the Tulane coach. There's a lot of reasons to like him before that, but with John Sumrall now doing the two jobs, but whenever this run does end, he'll be taking over your Gators. I told him a few weeks ago when he joined us, he's a football psycho, and I mean that in a positive way. I love his energy. What do you think he could do with the Swamps to try to bring you back?
I totally agree. That's actually, he framed it in a good way that is positive. I hope people take it that way. I liked him from afar. I like him more up close. Because I've gotten to talk to him and getting to talk football, getting to talk psychology, getting to talk recruiting, getting to talk culture, all of those things I really like in getting to know him more and more. And that makes me feel even more confident that he could be the guy to really turn this program back to where it needs to be. He is a football junkie. He loves it. He wants to do it. He's excited about the job. And I just really love his mentality for all those things. Because also one more thing that I think it's important to bring up is that when Florida has been its best, they had an edge. Mm-hmm. Some could call it a little bit of an arrogance and ego with it. Like you look at the Spurrier days in the 90s with Danny and Ike Taylor and Reed L. Anthony and Javon Kearse and all these great players. Spurrier had this confidence that some people could say is arrogance, right? That it leads to, and the players played, they knew this is the fun and gun, and we're going to go out there. We're going to play our style. It's our identity, and we're going to rock with it, right? It was an edge he brought. under Coach Meyer, it was also an edge. Different edge, but it was an edge under mentality. It was an edge under toughness. It was a 4 to 6 seconds of relentless effort and focus that you were going to see. And the deeper the waters got, the more that we knew how to swim and the more we believed other people weren't going to be able to swim in deep waters as long, right? Different, but both a form of a confidence and arrogance and an edge that I really believe as teams and individuals playing a game, you need a deeply held belief, conviction, and confidence in what you do. I think that that's something that Coach Summerall in his own way can bring to the program. I think you've seen it in where he's coached, and now can he do it with an even better roster? Because I really believe in that wholeheartedly, that the best have a unique edge and identity that they show up with.
Tim Tebow here with us. We'll talk about Allstate in just a second. I watch a ton of college football throughout the season. And whenever I watch Gunnar Stockton, I always say, Tim Tebow, I know he's a Georgia Bulldog, but you got to love watching him play football probably, right?
I do. I love watching him. I love being around him. We had him on the show on SEC Nation after the SEC championship win. And oh my goodness, his humility with his grit is really unique and special. You have someone that is so kind, and honestly, I know this might not be a compliment, but like tenderhearted off of the field. Some people might not take it that way. I think it's incredible. And then you have someone that's so resilient and tough. And I think really where he won his team over as a leader wasn't this year. I believe it was last year, and the hit that he took in the SEC championship game when Carson Beck got hurt and he came in and absolutely got blasted by Texas, and the way he led around that and rallied around that. I think he earned so much respect from his team. And now you look at it this year that early on in the season, it wasn't the same Georgia defense we've seen in the past. They had to win a lot of games offensively. They had to win a lot coming back. They had to, Tennessee had to have some crucial drives down late and having to get a 4th-and-2 on a deep fade route. It showed the coach's confidence in Mike Bobo, Kirby Smart's confidence in letting him rip. And down against Florida late in the game, his ability to rally the team late in the game. Because one of my favorite traits when I look at players, how do you play when your best is needed? How do you play in crunch time and clutch time? Like not first quarter, not against scrubs. No, in the biggest moments, in the biggest moments of the biggest games, how do you play? And when you look at Gunner in those moments, it is every time check, 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 check. And that's, I think, one of the things he brings. Like there's not a lot of quarterbacks in the top 12 teams right now that are in the playoff, or I guess you'd say playoff, right? Yeah. Not necessarily top 12, in the playoff, that you look at, you say, game's on the line, 4th-and-3, who do you want? He's one of those guys, man. I want the ball in his hands.
Tell me what you're doing today with Allstate, by the way.
Oh, man. Well, first of all, I love the Allstate and the AFCA Good Works team because we talked about what all these guys are doing on the field, but this Good Works team is about what they're doing off of the field. And there aren't many awards that celebrate who they are off. There's a lot that celebrate how you compete and score and tackle. Sure. and all of that, right? But there aren't a lot that celebrate the impact that are making off the field. And that's what the Allstate AFCA Good Works team celebrates. And then on top of that, we get to celebrate the Allstate Werfel Trophy recipient. And right now there are 3 finalists that are incredible young men. You look at the work that they are doing, and it is life-changing for so many. And you look at Matt Hofer, you've got Michael Taff, and the work that they're doing is incredible. And you look at Tanner Wall and how he's gone all around the world to serve in Kenya and the South Pacific. The work is incredible. Michael Taff, talk about him. He's turned his pain into purpose. He lost a friend to a fentanyl overdose, and now he's got Taff's Tackles, and he's using that for awareness and events and to change lives. And it's really special. So all 3 finalists of this award are incredible young men, and I can't wait to see Friday night on ESPN which one receives the Allstate Werfel Trophy. And they also win the Allstate AFCA Good Works team captain as well.
I know you got to run, just 45 seconds. What would your message be to Arch Manning after seeing him play for a full season?
Man, it's keep going. You've improved every single week. You've handled the praise and the criticism better than almost anybody. You have many times been unfairly judged, and so much amount of pressure was put on you before you even got it. And I think he's handled it great. To keep going, your best is in front of you. And I would probably just encourage, you can't control what people say about you, but you can't control who speaks into you. So keep letting the right voices speak into you, and your best is in front of you.
And he's Tim Tebow, obviously, in my opinion, the greatest college quarterback of all time on behalf of Allstate. Tim, appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you having me. Great questions.
There you go. Tim Tebow joining us on the show. By the way, excellent stuff there. The play of the day is sponsored by NHTSA. Whether you get pulled over or get into a crash, drinking and driving will change your whole world. Drive sober or get pulled over, paid for by NHTSA. In Sunday's 37-9 win over the Falcons, the Seahawks got things started in the second half on a strong note when Rashid Shaheed returned the opening kickoff 100 yards to the house. Here is how it sounded on Seahawks radio.
Shaheed from the goal line, near right side numbers, up the field 10, 20, looking for a gap. He's got one. He's off to the races. Look out. This could be it. 50, 40, 30. They're not going to touch him. 10, 5. He looks back. Touchdown, Seahawks. What a way to start the second half.
You know, I'm a little bit disappointed. That's Steve Rabel, correct? I believe doing the games out there in Seattle.
That is Steve Rabel, yes.
Every time we play his cuts, I'm expecting a holy catfish. How is that not a holy catfish moment? Now, that's one of some of my favorite calls when he goes holy catfish when he does the games with the Seattle Seahawks. 100-yard kickoff returns on a holy catfish moment still?
Yeah, maybe because it was just the start of the second half. He wasn't quite in the groove yet. Maybe he wasn't expecting a 100-yard kickoff on the first play.
too many cookies, and he was stuffing his face or something like that at halftime.
Yeah, you know, at the press box, yeah.
too many trips to the soda machine or something like that. Oh, yeah, maybe you're right on that. All righty, Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Is Perloff still there, by the way?
He just left.
When I said that Tim Tebow is the greatest college quarterback of all time, because I could also hear you guys back in the studio. I'm doing the show today out on Long Island. Did he say not even close?
I don't know. I don't believe he said that.
Oh, okay.
Maybe Samter could speak to that. I don't. I'm not sure.
Gotcha, Samter. Did you hear Perloff say that at all, or am I just hearing things?
I think you may have just been hearing things.
Oh, I heard something in my headset, and it sounded like it said not even close. And I'm like, oh, Perloff just getting very mouthy when we're talking with Tim Tebow. No, couldn't decide. Love Andrew Perloff. What the heck is he still doing there at 4:15 p.m. Eastern time?
I think he's meeting up with a friend or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he hasn't been here the whole time. I think he just came back.
Did a little drive-by, you know, a little pop-in, boom.
Came to see you. He thought you were here. He thought you were here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, well. You know, a big time Perloff. That should be the headline. Barron Sports Media, awful announcing. Zach Gelb doesn't like Andrew Perloff. Big timed him. Told him to come to the studio, then big timed him. No, I'm just, you know, kidding. I think Perloff was a tremendous addition to our network and someone that I've enjoyed very much and is going to be a lifelong friend. Anyway, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll take a timeout when we come on back. How does Mike Tomlin save his image in Pittsburgh? It's one thing to beat the Ravens and blow the kisses to the cameras and all that. But how does he save his image? I'll tell you what he needs to do this year. Next. Great stuff with Tim Tebow a few moments ago. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Coming up in 20 minutes from now, Pat Boyle going to join us in his weekly spot. Evan Washburn is then going to follow right at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific time. We're going to do a segment here on Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin. And I have crafted up how I'm going to answer these questions, but I want to get other voices involved in this. Samter, I'm going to put you on the spot here. If Aaron Rodgers were to retire tomorrow, how would you look back at the career of one Aaron Rodgers?
Disappointing.
Disappointing. Okay, explain.
Unfulfilled potential, maybe. Maybe that's better. I think it's safe to say, I think a lot of people would agree that Aaron Rodgers is probably, if not the, one of the top two most talented quarterbacks we've ever seen. Not the best, just most talented. Arm strength, accuracy, reading defenses, using his legs. He has it all at an elite level. There's no weakness in his game. But for him to only make one Super Bowl, for him to be, I don't want to say disliked by so many teammates or by, you know.
I actually don't think teammates dislike him.
Well, Greg Jennings doesn't like him, but that's a different story.
Okay, that's one. But like Marquez Valdes-Scantling was in the studio with us. He may not have liked me, but he liked Aaron Rodgers.
Maybe not teammates, just have rubbed so many people the wrong way, whether it's his family or girlfriend or whatever it is. It just seems like people who get really close to Aaron Rodgers just they have a falling out eventually. He just seems to have that kind of persona. So I think that there's just a lot of stuff that's been going on. And I don't know if it's a leadership thing, if it's a playing in the clutch thing, but there's just something missing. You don't have that much talent and only make one Super Bowl. There's something else going on there with him. So for me, it feels unfulfilled potential is the best way to describe it.
Well, Marino only made one Super Bowl, right? So it's like...
Yeah, but I mean, Marino in a similar way, but if you look at Marino's teams and what he was going up against, you know, the vast majority of the talent in the NFL during Rodgers' career was in the AFC.
Let me ask you this. Brady, would you rather be Rodgers or would you rather be Marino?
Like as far as who is the better quarterback?
Yeah, who do you think is the better quarterback?
Dan Marino, hands down.
Now, would you rather have the career of Aaron Rodgers or would you rather have the career of Dan Marino? Because both had gaudy stats, prodigious stats. What does everyone say about Dan Marino? One of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, but never won a Super Bowl. Does, you know, with Aaron Rodgers, at least he won a Super Bowl. And he won a Super Bowl MVP too. So who would you rather be? Like if Samter, who I know you're not a fan of Rodgers, but if you had to just look at it, whose career would you rather have? Dan Marino or Aaron Rodgers?
Having one Super Bowl is a huge, huge thing. I get it. But I don't know, man. Dan Marino.
I'd rather be Rodgers.
Dan Marino was the king of Miami, man.
I get it.
He was the king.
Not him a Super Bowl, though. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. You know, you could make a case. He would be fourth all time if he has a Super Bowl.
He was in Ace Ventura. That's enough said.
Okay. But I'm just, who? So you would rather be Marino than Rodgers?
It's really close. The only, like, I think every.
Well, who would you rather be? It's your. You're allowed to answer this.
I'm telling you, probably Marino, but the Super Bowl makes it like Marino beats Rodgers in every category to me, except for that one Super Bowl where Marino lost in a Super Bowl to Montana.
So let me ask you this, Stu: if Rodgers were to retire tomorrow, who would you you know, how would you look back at his career?
It's pretty similar to what Mike said. The disappointment is honestly the first word that came to my head as well. I would just say, you know, what could have been just a little bit more, just one more Super Bowl, just one or two more deep playoff runs. I think that's always going to be in the back of my mind. Like, amazing player, amazing talent, but only having the one Super Bowl is, I feel like, is going to not tarnish his legacy, but just, you know, instead of being one of the two or three greatest quarterbacks, he's probably going to be one of the, you know, five or six greatest quarterbacks.
Would you rather be Dan Marino or would you rather be Aaron Rodgers?
I'd still rather be Rodgers because of that one Super Bowl.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that front. I have similar answers to you. When a guy, though, was that great, I can't say disappointing, but I understand where you're both going. Like, I'm in the same boat as both of you. Where I would probably say it this way, an all-time great quarterback, but how the bleep did he only get to one Super Bowl with how early in his career he got to that Super Bowl and won another Super Bowl? You know, and like, and how he won that Super Bowl. Now, with that being said, hasn't Brady really messed this thing up for everybody? Like, I understand Montana won four. If Brady didn't win seven Super Bowls. If Brady didn't just win, just six in New England, and let's say he never got the seventh in Tampa Bay, like, you know, I hate to do the joke, the cheesy 6-7 right there, but if Brady just had five, I think a lot of us would sit there, and I think we would say, okay, Brady passed Montana. Now, Brady ended up blowing past Montana, so maybe some people say, oh, well, Montana never lost, you know, Brady did, you know, in Super Bowls. But I think Brady getting to win six Super Bowls in New England and a seventh in Tampa Bay, I think that has taken the Super Bowl argument and has just taken it all the way to 100. Where now it's like you win a Super Bowl and people are saying, is that good enough? You know, and I also think Eli Manning, in the fashion that he did, getting two, and how Eli has been to more Super Bowls and has obviously won more Super Bowls than Aaron Rodgers, when Aaron Rodgers is easily a better quarterback than Eli Manning, I think that kind of takes the argument where it highlights us even more on a guy only winning one. Like, Dan Marino would have loved to only won one Super Bowl, right? There's a lot of guys that only love to win one Super Bowl. But I say this all the time. There's all-time greats and there's immortals. Now, when you get into the immortal conversation or you get into the all-time great conversation, they're tiebreakers. And 9.9 times out of 10, championships do decide those tiebreakers. So I look at it with Rodgers, and this is what I would say. It's similar to you guys. The first thought just can't be disappointing. I have to say right away, you know, from a talent standpoint, one of the most talented quarterbacks I've ever seen, you know, had a great career. But you guys are right where I do sit there and I say to myself, man, how did this guy only get to one and only win one? You know, I do say those things. Now, imagine if he didn't win the one. If he didn't win the one, oh, I think that's then the first thing that would come out of my mouth, which would be like, how the heck did this guy not win a Super Bowl? So it's a topic where, you know who it reminds me a lot like, and I've said this before, Durant. And I understand Kevin Durant has two championships. Yeah, two championships with the Golden State Warriors. But those are looked at little side eye. You know, people are skeptical of them. I get it. He had two finals MVPs in the championships that he won. But that Charles Barkley bus driver, bus rider conversation sticks with Kevin Durant. Rodgers and Durant, I think, are very similar, where they're both all-time greats, but you look back at it, and maybe to use the word that you use, Samter, in the championship way, yeah, it is a little bit unfulfilling with those guys. So I'll then ask the same question about Mike Tomlin. Let's just say tomorrow comes out, Mike Tomlin is walking away from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Samter, how do you look back at the Mike Tomlin era with the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Consistent. Solid, consistent. Mm.
See, isn't that interesting? For you with Rodgers, it's disappointing. Now, Mike Tomlin has only won one Super Bowl. Now, he got to a second, right? He's been to two. Did he get to two? Yeah, because they lost to the Packers, with Rodgers.
Yep.
So you look at Tomlin, and it beat the Cardinals, obviously. Hate to do that to you.
Santonio Dinkes Fitan.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, you at least go consistent with Tomlin. So let me ask you this. With Rodgers, you said disappointing, unfulfilling. With Tomlin, it's consistent. Explain that to me, why you went with consistent.
Well, the fact that he's just never been below 500, and he's made the playoffs year after year after year, but then loses in the playoffs. He hasn't been great. He hasn't been terrible. He's been consistent. He's been consistently very good. And I think when it comes to, like, you know, disappointment, whatever, like, playing on the field is a player, right? A coach only has so much control. And I understand that we can still put a lot of blame on him for the team's lack of success in the postseason for Tomlin. But, like, I don't think that coaches, for the most part, get judged for not winning in the postseason the same way that players do. Like, Sean McDermott doesn't get judged the same way that Josh Allen gets judged. Not the same way that Josh Allen gets judged.
I actually think Sean McDermott gets it worse than Josh Allen. Because I think people look at Sean McDermott and say, you have Josh Allen with great postseason performances. Like, when the Bills don't win, it's not because you usually look at Josh Allen and go, man, he's stunk in the big moment. It's, wow, McDermott's great defense, 11 seconds to go, couldn't keep the Chiefs out of field goal range. Right? I think McDermott, in just the Josh Allen-McDermott conversation, and I think it's deserved, McDermott gets it worse than Josh Allen. People just say, hey, Josh Allen is so great. He doesn't have a Super Bowl, right? Hasn't won a Super Bowl. But I don't think people look at Allen and then say, we question how great of a quarterback he is. People do not say the word great with Sean McDermott. They just don't. So let me ask you this then, Stu. If I'll ask the same question I just asked Mike. If it came out tomorrow that Mike Tomlin was getting let go by the Pittsburgh Steelers or he just walked away, how would you look back at the Mike Tomlin legacy?
I would say respected. He was probably the most respected coach aside from Belichick the last 15, 20 years, let's say.
More than Reed?
Yeah. I guess Reed would be up there too. But I just think I don't feel the same way I feel about Rodgers. I know it's the same with the Super Bowls and the lack of postseason success the last decade, give or take. But I don't know. I just feel like Tomlin is a different way I look at it. Maybe it's because he was in that same conference as Brady and Belichick for all those years. Maybe there's a way he'd have another Super Bowl or would have another run at a Super Bowl, if you will. But I don't know. I don't view it the same way as Rodgers.
The first word I think of is actually overrated. That's the first word that I think of with Mike Tomlin. And the reason why I say that is because he's the quarterback. I mean, he's the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? He's the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I get it. He's never been below 500. But he also hasn't won a playoff game in 10 years. That, to me, is something that when I look at it, I say to myself, man, the Steelers standard has fallen under Mike Tomlin. Like, Mike Tomlin, to me, is a very good coach. I don't think he's a great coach. And I'm not the only one that says that. James Harrison said it, his own player. So let me now then ask you to do this as tiebreaker. Samter, if both retired tomorrow, would you rather be Aaron Rodgers or would you rather be Mike Tomlin?
I'll always choose the player over the coach. Like, whose career? It's so hard to compare. I mean, they both have the... To me,
man,
player
Rodgers really, Rodgers really puts you in a word salad here.
No,
because you don't want to give Rodgers any credit.
No. I would probably rather be Rodgers, but not because I love his career. I don't like Aaron Rodgers' career. I think that he's been such a pain in the ass for so many different reasons, whether it's because of Jordan Love or calling out his wide receivers or the whole Brett Favre drama or the off the field stuff or
Brett Favre's fault.
But all of it, the calling out the 49ers for not drafting, he's always just kind of been like a pain in the butt, and he's always kind of just been this cocky, arrogant guy who thinks he's smarter than everybody else, and then he gets that on the football field, and then he lays an egg when it matters the most. So, like, it's just one of those guys, if you're going to talk trash, if you're going to be cocky and arrogant, back it up. And, yeah, he backs up statistically, but he's been to, like, 2-3 NFC championship games, considering the talent that he's had and the records that his teams have had, 15-1, they lose at home to the Giants. I mean, I don't know. I look at Aaron Rodgers, and when I compare him to other players, I don't love his career. However, if I have to compare him to a coach, I'll always take the player over the coach. I like Mike Tomlin's career as a coach better than I like Aaron Rodgers' career as a player, but I still always rather have a player's career than a coach's career.
The guy's won 4 NFL MVPs. So I understand what you're kind of saying, maybe. I just don't think you like Rodgers, which, you know, that's fine. But with that being said, the way I look at it, I think, like, if you look at Aaron Rodgers, no one's ever going to make the case. If you look at Tomlin, no one's ever going to make the case that he's a top 5 coach of all time. No one ever will. Aaron Rodgers, people will make the case, you could at least argue it, that he's a top 5 quarterback of all time. If, like, we're just being legit about this, no one's ever going to make the case, even top 10, that Mike Tomlin is a top 10 head coach of all time. I don't think he is. Aaron Rodgers feels like a top 10 or has a chance to be a top 10 quarterback of all time. Stu, would you rather be Mike Tomlin or would you rather be Aaron Rodgers if you had to pick the career one?
And despite what I said earlier, it'd still be Rodgers because of the MVPs and just how amazing he was individually.
Now, here's the thing. Both of them need each other this year. They really do. Both of them need each other in the absolute worst way possible. This is weird down the stream. You guys are zooming in right on my my mouth and my goatee. That's distracting me.
Well, no, so we didn't zoom in. Your Wi-Fi went down a little bit, so the screen got very small, so we had to adjust, and now your Wi-Fi is back to being regular.
Gotcha. Yeah, that zoomed right there, right up all in my face, and I'm like, what the heck are we doing? But anyway, real quickly to wrap this conversation, both need each other. They do. Because if Rodgers win, like, the Steelers aren't winning a Super Bowl this year. But if Rodgers wins a playoff game, that's the Steelers' equivalent of winning a Super Bowl this year. And the same could be said for Mike Tomlin because he hasn't won a playoff game since the 2016 season. All righty, Zach Gelb here with you.
Before we go to ACK, Adam Schefter has the real Adam Schefter, along with Pete Thamel and Dan Wetzel, have a very, very, very interesting report.
What's the report?
You're not going to like this, Zach. You are not going to like this.
Is it about Michigan?
Yep.
There's sanctions?
Nope.
I don't know.
According to Adam Schefter, ESPN sources...
Is Sherrone Moore fired?
Michigan has fired head coach Sherrone Moore per me, Pete Thamel, and Dan Wetzel. Wow.
Don't dislike that. I don't dislike that whatsoever.
Why now? All the coaches are gone. Who are you gonna hire?
They have a guy in mind. Maybe it's going to be Jesse Minter. Maybe they're going to say Jesse Minter is going to be the next head football coach. Hold on. Is this actually real?
It is. It is the Adam Schefter.
Okay. Because my internet where I'm doing the show from today is just absolutely terrible. So, wow. Okay. I just saw it.
And the Pete Thamel has it as well, and so does the Dan Wetzel.
I actually think that's a good move by Michigan. I do. Last year, you had Michigan's coach put lipstick on a pig by beating Ohio State. This year, in every big game, they failed to show up, whether it was Oklahoma, whether it was Ohio State, right? Those games, they just simply did not show up. So I look at this, and USC as well. I think this was inevitable. I am surprised that this happened now and it didn't happen next year, but I thought it was going to happen at some point next year. But wow, that's massive college football news. And that is going to be a job of great interest. I'm curious to see who they're going to get. A lot of jobs just got filled. I got to imagine they have an idea on who they're going to pick up and who they are going to get. Maybe it's Jesse Minter coming back. But he's in line for an NFL job. I don't know. But there's a lot of good coaches in college football right now when Michigan is available that they're sitting there and they're going to reevaluate this entire thing. There is no doubt about that. All righty, let's take a break. Let's do this. Tell Pat Boyle we're not going to get to him today because we got to respond to this when we come on back. Let's get the latest update in. Here's the ACK man, Rich Ackerman. Wow. So a few things. I was just told about this right before the break. Samter broke in and told us from Pete Thamel that Michigan has fired Sherrone Moore. There's a lot to react to. Now, the first name I just said, like, off the top of my head, who's going to replace him? I go, what about Jesse Minter? But he's about to get an NFL head coaching job. Jesse Minter, by the way, does have a year show cause that was issued in April of 2025. If I'm trying to think of a name that will replace him, I would imagine it's probably away from the Harbaugh tree. Just because how ugly that ending was with Jim Harbaugh. If it ended in an amicable way, and this was Jim Harbaugh winning a national championship and then just goes to the NFL with no scandal, I would say, yeah, it's probably someone from the Harbaugh tree. And hey, Moore is from the Harbaugh tree and got promoted to be the head football coach. But what we have now found out with Michigan firing Sherrone Moore, Trey Wallace, the firing of Sherrone Moore will be for cause as he violated a university policy. Pete Nakos, Michigan was abruptly called into a team meeting this afternoon and informed of the news. According to Ross Dellinger, Michigan has fired Sherrone Moore for a violation of university policy. Sources tell Yahoo Sports, confirming ESPN, the dismissal is for cause. A university investigation uncovered off-the-field transgressions. Here is a statement from Michigan Athletic Director Ward Manuel. UM head football coach Sherrone Moore has been terminated with cause effective immediately following a university investigation. Credible evidence was found that Coach Moore engaged in an inappropriate relationship with a staff member. Oh my God. This conduct constitutes a clear violation of university policy, and UM maintains zero tolerance for such behavior. Biff Poggi has been appointed the head football coach in an interim capacity effective immediately. What a freaking disaster for Michigan. Like, don't get me wrong. This news was probably inevitable because Sherrone Moore, the last 2 years outside of beating Ohio State once, kind of has displayed that he's not ready for the moment, kind of has displayed that he's not going to be an effective college football coach. But him and Bryce Underwood, you were looking forward to see if they could grow this year. And who knows what this means for Bryce Underwood. Maybe Bryce Underwood's going to see this news and he said, I'm going to hit the transfer portal, I'm going to leave Michigan. That's on the table. But to find out that this is in regards to him engaging in an inappropriate relationship with a staff member, oh my God. Sherrone Moore, like, what are you doing? Because Samter, right, like, your first take was, the timing is now? Like, why would you do this now if you knew he wasn't the guy at the end of the season? You know, look at all these jobs that just were available. Florida, LSU, Ole Miss, Auburn, Penn State. Right, Michigan, outside of LSU, would probably be the best job in the market if we're just being honest about it. And you do this now, and it's not because they didn't believe in his football coaching abilities. That was probably the conversation for next year if they were disappointing again, if they lost every big game that they played in, which they did last year with Sherrone Moore. But now you find out this is an off-the-field situation, which, let's be real, if there's an off-the-field situation, you know, Sherrone Moore is involved in it. You know, look at this guy's career. But this is because of, you know, contact with the staff member and an inappropriate relationship. Man, Sherrone Moore. Now, I don't have the details of what actually happened. I don't know. But your mind wanders and you assume, and I'm not going to say that from a legal standpoint, but what you assume is probably what I'm assuming as well. And, right, like, don't you immediately say, like, oh, you can't keep it in your pants. Now, like, once again, I don't know if that's true or not, but with the wording of this, inappropriate relationship with a staff member. You know, maybe you just berated a staff member. I don't think you lose your job for berating a staff member. I think we all know what we're assuming. But this is how the quick Sherrone Moore tenure does end. And now, who will Michigan hire as their next head coach? I don't have a damn clue. I don't have a damn clue. Like, usually there's a name that goes right to the tip of the tongue. Jesse Minter, but he's a hardball guy. You bring back a hardball guy, and he's a show clause right now. So maybe they just operate on an interim basis, and then you make a hire a year from now, and you reset this thing. Biff Poggi, coach of the team, for an entire year. But there's going to be a lot of people right now across college football that are at Power Four. Like, you know what? I'll give you a name. You want to know who should be the next head football coach at Michigan? If I'm Ward Manuel, this is what I'm doing. Since you had to fire Sherrone Moore today, the guy I'm calling first, this is the guy that I'm thinking of right now, Kenny Dillingham. I would go make a run for Kenny Dillingham, the Arizona State head coach. Look at the job he's done at Arizona State the last 2 years. Throw a bag of cash at Kenny Dillingham. And Kenny Dillingham, I know he keeps on talking about how he wants to stay at Arizona State, this and that, blah, 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 blah. You're telling me if Michigan comes calling, you're not going to take the bag of cash from Michigan? That's the immediate hot take. Sherrone Moore is out. Who replaces him? Kenny Dillingham. That would be my gut instinct. That would be the first name that I would give you, would be Kenny Dillingham. That's what I would do. So we'll see what happens. But geez, what a coaching cycle this has been. LSU, Auburn, Ole Miss, Florida, Penn State. Look how many jobs are getting filled. And look how many jobs have already been filled. And now, boom, because an off-the-field incident, Sherrone Moore out, and now we don't know who's going to be next. Evan Washburn's going to join us next. This is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.